welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, this morning, that's the title of my message, To Live as Christ, To Die as Gain. And you know, really, I could just step down right now because that's good. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's pretty simple, straightforward, right? To live as Christ, to die as gain. So where does that come from? I'm going to just start out with the actual verses surrounding that. Sorry, I just have to have that little moment of celebration each time it comes up. So, this is in Philippians. And Philippians, as you know, if you know the word at all, it's such a joyous, happy, which I think is just fitting for this morning, but it's just a joyous book, even though the writer is in prison at the time that he writes that, which is just a little strange, but such a good little thing to note. But what it says there is, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, and Paul is talking, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So, we're going to start out with the first half of that, and that is to live as Christ. What does that even look like? What does that mean? It seems straightforward, and it really is. But it is our understanding that our primary need in life, is spiritual first. Everything else follows. It's spiritual. It is Him. To live is Christ means that Jesus changes the I or the me to we. We're doing this together now. It's Jesus and me. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Me and Jesus. You and Jesus. It's the two of us together now. We're doing this thing called life together. It also says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him. You hear slaves to the gospel, slaves to the things of Jesus Christ. I just think it's just children of Jesus Christ. I'm a child. You're a child of Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, he tends to change us. When we give our heart to him, he changes, if we allow him to, our self-absorption to self-awareness of who we are in him, which helps us to live in Christ and to live out Christ. There was a pastor that put it this way: we leave a legacy, but we can change our legacy in an instant. In an instant. We can't do over, but we can do makeovers. We can start over. How? Through Jesus. And one of those verses that comes to mind immediately is, remember, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. To live is Christ. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of my professors put it this way to us. If we defaulted to trust, what if we defaulted to trust as opposed to fear? He pointed out to us that trust is what God resurrects when our security dies. It is at the very place where we are entirely free of security and guarantee and predictability that we're all on the verge of trust. In some countries, and I know we've heard people from the pulpit here, missionaries, I've just heard different speakers, they're in countries where Jesus is all they have. And I've heard them say, without Jesus, we're dead. That's it. That's the way it is. There's no other option. You know, we have some options here in this country that we can kind of go to first. But in the end, it's Jesus. And for them, it starts out being Jesus. So he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us himself, his Holy Spirit. To live is Christ. Now this summer, David alluded to, I had the distinct pleasure of doing some hospital clinical training as a student chaplain. And the experiences there actually are prompting this message today. And of course, for confidentiality reasons, I've had to change up a few details and so that their personal stories are not they're not recognizable to anyone that might be hearing this. But there's some that are worth sharing just because it's the perfect example of to live as Christ. One of those is that I had the privilege of praying with a woman. And as I prayed with her, as I talked with her, she was laying on a fold-out bed at the foot of her son's hospital bed. And she made it very clear that her son's continued recovery from a serious accident was truly a miracle from God. And I asked her if she had a church. And that's actually a standard as a chaplain. You ask, you try to make sure that they have a support system. And we hope and pray that it's always a church system as well as a family system. So I asked her if she had a church that was supporting her through this incredibly hard time. And she told me no. She said, they threw me out when I got a divorce. She pointed to her now adult son and she shared, he was a little boy when the church threw us out, but God never threw us out. He's the one helping us through. For her, to live is Christ. I spent time visiting with a young adult woman, and she was just in for some testing. We talked about Jesus, and she told me that her mom didn't like her purple hair or her tattoos. Her mom believed that that might actually keep her daughter from going to heaven. She had said to her daughter, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm just not so sure about you. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I think God's okay with purple hair. And I think he's okay with your tattoo of the cross. Looks like it's a nice reminder of who you are in Christ. To live is Christ. I visited with a woman that was mad at God. I don't know if I believe in him anymore. He's never done anything for me. Well, she didn't let me pray with her, but that was okay. I knew that she had just been handed a very unexpected, very serious diagnosis. I just needed to let her grieve. So I still prayed. I just waited till I was outside the door. So she doesn't know that, but I do. God and I have this little secret connection for her. So to live is Christ. Yet I couldn't help but notice the contrast because I visited with someone later that day and he had been through multiple surgeries, multiple hospital stays. He also had a very serious diagnosis, and that's why he was in the hospital, actually. He was in the hospital with some complications with a very serious disease. He's a very quiet man, but he was very pleasant. And when I asked if I could pray with him, he said yes. Well, when someone actually gives you the opportunity to pray with them, you know, the next question out of your mouth is there anything specifically that you would like me to pray for besides the obvious? Is there anything else? And he just said very quietly, he just said, I just want to say thanks. I must admit, knowing his story, I was like, what? Did I hear that right? And in fact, I just repeated him. I said, you just want to say thanks? And his response was absolutely beautiful. Yes, I just want to say thank you to him for helping me through all of this. I don't think enough people take the time to just say thank you to him. Praise God. To live is Christ. Yesterday, Camille and I were on a walk at the state park, and we were kind of on a little rough path and narrow. And so coming at us was a dad with a little one and a backpack on his back, and a little bit behind him was the mom with the little boy. Four or five years old, maybe. I can't tell you what a huge blessing it was, because of course we had to step off to the side, so we're kind of hearing the conversation a little bit as they're walking past, as we're letting them through. And I heard this mom say to her little boy, there are thousands of stars, millions of stars, and he calls them all by name. Oh, to live is Christ. To live is Christ individually, but it's also to live corporately, as the body of Christ. Our self-awareness takes on, it's a little backwards, but I thought it was a little bit more catchy, others' awareness. I like saying that, others' awareness. It's just really awareness of others. And I have a little example for that, and I'm going to actually use my little grandson, three-year-old grandson, Seth. We live in an area that we're close to the Sturgeon Bay Hospital. So we're kind of sandwiched between the Sturgeon Bay Hospital and the fire station. So as you can imagine, we're the first ones alerted when there's sirens going on, okay? And so we've just made it a practice that whenever we hear sirens, we pray. I just shoot up a quick prayer, you know? And sometimes I do it silently, but obviously there's times that I'm saying it out loud. Well, obviously, little three-year-old Seth has picked up on this. So, and it got to the point, actually, that if I tried to do it silently, if you know Seth at all, Nana, pray! Nana, pray! He just gets like, Nana, pray! Okay, all right, let's pray. So, well, one day, I was at work. Well, the sirens started up. And, of course, panicky. Mom! Mom! He's looking at Chelsea. Mom, pray! Well, Chelsea said, well, Seth, you know how to pray. Well, so he did. And this is what he said, and Chelsea wrote it down word for word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the ambulance. Protect them, meaning protect them. Save them. Nobody dies. That was his prayer. And it doesn't sound anything like mine, so it was just... all him putting together real quickly. So the blessing is that, you know, how often do we do prayers like that where we're praying for somebody, we're prompted to pray for somebody, but we never know the outcome. You know, we're just trusting Jesus. We're just doing our part. You know, we're living out Christ. Well, this was just so amazing. You just pray blindly, as I call it. Well, anyway, a while ago, there was a car accident at a bad intersection in just an area that we tend to travel in. And again, I have to kind of keep it a little vague. But that person actually passed away, was killed in a car accident. Well, the next week, literally 6 days later, there was another car accident at that same intersection. That particular day, I was there, obviously, right before it happened, and so the police were rerouting us, and we were rerouted in such a way that we were like one road over, but at a certain point, I could look down that particular intersection, and I could see all the sirens. And of course, you know, I just kicked in, and I just, you know, interceded for whoever was involved, and you're praying for the rescue workers, the people. You just want everybody protected. You want blessings. You want restoration. You want healing. And you want salvation for all those that are involved, if they don't know him already. Well, this is so good. You know, every once in a while you need that little pick-me-up, that little perk, like, you know, you really are kind of making a difference, you know, through your prayers. And through a bizarre set of circumstances, I met the person that was in that second car accident, and she knew she was a miracle. Well, I did too. And you know, it's one of those times when, you know, it's not about you, it's not about your prayers, but the fact that I lifted her up to Jesus, I just felt like, yes, thank you, Jesus. You know, it was kind of one of those high five moments to live as Christ. In our others' awareness, we have an others' awareness. It's as a church body, all of us, creating an atmosphere that, as Pastor Bill Hybels puts it, those far from God would feel safe to search for God. And I thought that was such a beautiful statement, coming in and feeling safe to search if you don't know him already. Last month, Scott and I attended a global leadership summit, is what it's called, and it's been going on for years. And actually, the person that started it was Bill Hybels, and he's with Willow Creek Church, and it has grown. I mean, it's a global thing now. But one of the speakers, excuse me, let me preface that by telling you this. There are secular speakers as well as Christian speakers, and the whole point of it is that it is for leadership. But yet, Bill Hybels makes it, or Hybels, sorry, makes it very clear that it is, you know, about global leadership, but it has a Christian background. And he just basically prefaces it by saying, you know, I just want you to know that it is a Christian background, you know, as there's, I don't know how many hundreds of countries hooked in. We were at a host site. And he's just saying, you know, I just want you to know that I'm going to pray before it starts. I might pray during, and I might pray, and I'm going to definitely pray at the end, and we might talk about Jesus every once in a while. So I just ask that if you're of no faith or of a completely different faith or whatever faith you're of, that you'll just respect, respect our faith, my faith, as I will respect yours. And so it was just a beautiful way to start that leadership conference. But one of the speakers was Alan Mulally, and he was with Boeing. He was their CEO for, I think, over 20 years, and he was the CEO of the Ford Motor Company up until about 2 years ago. And he got up and spoke. And part of his success formula, as he shares it, is this. It was so simple. It was so beautiful. He looked out over the crowd and said, "It's about others. People first, everyone is included. Respect, listen, help, and appreciate each other. Have fun, enjoy the journey, and each other." Well, this was part of his team strategy that as he brought Ford out of a $17 billion deficit and actually put Ford on the map again. So how does that little story translate to our ministry collectively here? In Christ, to others, as many members making up one body, the body of Christ. Well, it looks like this. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Its many members joining together to create one body, a ministry of others coming together for others. You know, we know Jesus as the greatest leader, but he was also the greatest servant. And for that, we go still in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, as any of us that have been in church the last few weeks, Pastor Ed has been doing a series on the church, and then a little bit more specifically, our church, but still general enough that even if you're a visitor, it applied. And he's talked about the vision. He's talked about who we are as a church, what we believe. And last week it was on how to get connected. And again, if you are a visitor, just think of it in your own terms, in your own church. So for those of you who heard last week's message, you remember Pastor Ed reading a tongue-in-cheek description of the perfect pastor. And it was very enlightening. It was hilarious. So he also let us know, though, that there are many ministries operating under one roof here at Door of Life and at any church. And again, it's that perfect visual of many members coming together as one body of Christ. Now, again, I'm going to just specifically talk about Door of Life because it's what I know, and I have known for the last 11 years. But please, if you are not, if you're visiting, whatever, just apply it. And if you are visiting and you live in the area and you're looking for a church, apply it to Door of Life, okay, if that makes sense. Excuse me. We are blessed with a beautiful church family here. Whether you walk through those doors every Sunday, or just in the summer, or once a year, or for the first time, you are part of the family here at Door of Life. We're a tight-knit group, but we're always ready to knit in more. We love together, we cry together, we laugh together, we hold each other up as needed. We learn from each other. We encourage each other. We hug each other. We pray for each other. We give grace to each other. We forgive each other. We minister to each other, and we receive ministry from each other. We are the hands and feet of Jesus for each other. And that each other includes anyone that walks through those doors. It's a beautiful story that's been created here. And is there any, okay, no, if somebody could run up a water, I would love it. So, sorry, obviously I'm losing my voice a little bit here. Individually, we represent the many ministries that operate within this church. Thank you so much. We make up the hands and the feet and the legs and the arms and the ears and all body parts that make up the church. Church in general. But again, I'm talking specifically right now about Door of Life. We're the body of Christ. And that translates to operating in the giftings that God has placed within each one of us for such ministries as, from the list I received from Pastor Ed, looks like we have audiovisual, we have Bible study, we have building and grounds, we have cleaning of the church, food pantry, greeters, kids' church, landscaping, men's ministry, missions, outreach, nursery, preaching the word, treasure seekers, worship ministry, youth ministry, and it goes on. So if you're not connected with any ministry, first of all, this is not a sales pitch, and it's not a wagging finger. But it is an encouragement to explore what God has placed within you and to explore what God may have in mind for you here at Door of Life or at any church. And no, Pastor Ed does not know I'm preaching on this today. So this is all coming from the Lord. I'm trusting that him and I had a great conversation this week, and I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's coming from my heart, and it's just, it's me encouraging you to do this. You know, me, you know, our family, for any of you that have been here from the beginning, we were the ones that when we first came, as soon as that message was done, we were zoom out the door. Don't even talk. Don't notice that we're here. Just we're running out. Okay, that's us. That's us 11 years ago. We were the ones that came in. Oh, they raised their hands in praise and worship. Okay, we can see past that. All right, such good messages. But, we're out of here. The minute, you know, we just got that little trust issue. So it is kind of funny, and several of you have pointed out how funny it is that I'm standing up front of here today. There we go. So I'm going to go on to say the next thing, though, is if you're already connected to a particular ministry or even to a particular church now, okay, how's that going for you? Is your connection good? Is it the right fit? And as I ask this, again, it's church, but it's also individual ministries within the church. Is it the right fit? And if it is, praise God. But what if, not but, I'll just start that with what if you are feeling no connection to that ministry you're in right now? What if you are feeling no connection in your connection? Then maybe God has a different connection lined up for you. No worries. Again, very wise man named Pastor Ed, from the pulpit here has reminded us of his own journey, and that his mentor had said to him, you know, when you feel God calling you out of a ministry, and this is a situation where Pastor Ed was, you know, basically getting trained up and knew that he was going to have his own church someday, but his mentor said to him, there's going to come a time, obviously, that God's going to call you out. Just make sure you don't develop a critical spirit. There's a holy disconnect, a discontent, and it's just God getting your attention, that he's got different plans for you. And then there's that critical spirit. No, just feed into that holy discontent. maybe within these ministries here, God's got you lined up for something else. And I just want to encourage you. And I have not had any special revelation. I'm not directing this at any single person. I'm just wanting you to have freedom that if you're not connected, to get connected. And if you are connected, but you're feeling burnout, it's okay. It's okay to say, you know what? Okay, Lord, is this a good connection yet? I don't feel like it is a good connection. Okay, where do you have me? What are you seeing for me? I am just giving you permission to go to the Lord, pour out your heart, and let him place you. Because so many of us have many giftings, okay? We have maybe one particular gifting or two particular giftings, but we have many giftings because we're getting equipped from the Lord. And so this is about trusting God and trusting God to be able to say to the person that you maybe are in ministry with right now, you know what, I think God's calling me in a different direction. And for that other person to look at you and go, oh, okay, that's okay. No worries. Let's check this out. Let's work on this together. We're the family of God. We do this together. We do this thing called life together. To live is Christ. But regardless, the cool part of it is, some of you have been here from the very beginning. I've been here for 11 years now. Just put it out there. Door of Life, it's a good connection. It's a good connection. And the visual that God gave me was a very simple one. It was of a Christmas tree. And you know how that goes when you've got that Christmas tree that you're plugging in string after string after string after string. And then you're going to plug it into that main source and you're sending up that prayer of, please, just may they all light up. And, you know, I think of, and some of us remember to do it, and I'm not picking on Scott because he truly is, he's got it all figured out. We know the strands, they're all beautifully lighted. And you know what, they go on the tree, we know they're going to work, okay? But for those of us, but then again, sometimes, you know, they get on the tree and then somehow, a strand is off. But for those of us poor souls, like, and that would be me, that put the lights all on the tree and then go, oh yeah, let's plug it in. And you have a nice little section here, and you have a nice little section down here, but that middle section is dark. There's no light. Well, it was just a perfect visual for me because I thought, okay, God is the source. Okay, we plug in. But you know what? We're all plugged in together. And so where there's a dark set of lights, that doesn't mean that that person who is represented by that dark set of lights doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just may mean you're in the wrong connection, okay? So we just need to readjust. We just need to put you in a different connection, okay? And that's okay, you're safe here to do that. So because then when we are plugged in together beautifully, it's a beautiful tree. It's all lit up. It just reminds me of the light of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree because we're all plugged in together. And you know, I just want to go on to say too that sometimes that bad connection is just because you're in a season that you need to step back. You've had a loss, or you've just had something happen, or hurt, or something. It's okay to just step back and say, you know what, I need to take some time off. I'm in a season that I just need to get filled up. That's okay too. Because then we just continue to plug into you. But you're not having that responsibility of the connection right now. And that's okay. So that to say, we're far from perfect. But we have Jesus in us, and he knits us together. Each of us is a puzzle piece that when interlocked, what happens? Makes for a beautiful picture. Beautiful picture of Christ. To live as Christ. But let's say that you just don't know Jesus right now. Or maybe even, you know, even if you do, I think either one will kind of get a kick out of this story. And that is, some of them you are probably familiar with it. If you ever watched the movie New in Town, well, New in Town is about this plant factory in Minnesota, and it's a very cold winter. And the new plant manager is this corporate, ladder-climbing, gorgeous young woman from Miami. And she's basically coming to Minnesota really unbeknownst to the plant to shut him down, okay? And of course, the whole story is just the transformation of her. With that in mind, Blanche, the church secretary, I don't know, is that prophetic? Was there something going on with that? But anyway, she is the secretary at the plant, okay? So she's going to welcome in this new plant manager because, of course, she's going to be Lucy's, the new plant manager. She's going to be Lucy's secretary, okay? So, of course, it's that Midwestern welcome, okay? We just want her to be comfortable. So Blanche invites her new boss, Lucy, to come home with her on her first night in Minnesota, and that just to have dinner with the family. And Blanche, just in her Minnesota accent, which I wouldn't know anything about, you know, being Wisconsin, but she just looks at Lucy and says, "Nothing special. Meatloaf." So they ride together. She's like, "Okay, meatloaf is okay. You know, make sure she's not a vegetarian. Nope, I'm okay with meatloaf. Okay." So they ride together to Blanche's house. And during their conversation, it's just a variety of topics. But sweet Blanche asks Lucy, "Have you found Jesus?" To which Lucy replied, I mean, she's uncomfortable, so she just cracks a joke. "Well, I didn't know he was missing." Well, Blanche is taken aback and says, "People around here don't joke about Jesus." "Well, I guess some people would think that was funny. Imagine, Jesus gone missing." So, and at first I thought, okay, can I laugh at that? I think that's kind of funny, but Jesus, are you offended by that? And no, I could sense him laughing too, and we have a quirky sense of humor. So, and you know, that's the cool part. I can share that with Jesus, to live as Christ, remember? So, but I bring that up because I just want to say that Jesus isn't missing from anyone. I'm reminded that it is with believers and non-believers. He is with both. Because he created both. He loves both believers and unbelievers. And again, one of my professors says, it's simply choosing to stop ignoring the love that has been around you this whole time. It's not about helping people find Jesus. He was there all the time. It's just helping open their eyes to the love that they're already surrounded with. And again, to live is Christ. It's giving away something that people already have. They just don't know it. Whether you're a believer or not, you have the love of Jesus. For any of us, it's just the start, choice to start seeing it, to accept it, to embrace it. And if you're not a believer, you can be. It's real easy. For when we ask Jesus into our heart, to live as Christ, to die as gain. He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. He's in you. You are working out the details of life together, good and bad. And when this life on earth is done, that comes the really good part. To live eternal with God. And that's where we come to the to die is gain. One last scripture. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. To die is gain. It's that place where our precious loved ones are, that we get to be with forever. It's eternity. It's that place where, and it's that time coming that God says he'll wipe every tear away. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, crying, pain. It's just the promise of life with him. To live as Christ, to die is gain. And I just want to end by reading the words to a song that I'm sorry to say I cannot give credit because I can't remember who sings this song. But to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I rise, let me rise on you, not on all of my successes, my esteem, or my pursuits. If I lose, let me lose my life, because if I belong to Jesus, the flesh is crucified. For me to live is Christ, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I grow, let me grow in you. Wilt the seeds of wanting more, ripping pride out by the roots. And if I'm still, let me hear you speak, not the tone of my transgressions, but the song of the redeemed. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. My great desire is to be with you, but this is the place you chose for me. This is the place you chose for me to lift my cross and give everything. This is the time you gave to me. This is the time you gave to me. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So I just, it's just remember that God is love. And so to live is love. To die is love. That's pretty simple. God is good. And I just want to end with prayer, and then David, you can certainly come up. So, precious Heavenly Father, I just praise your holy name. I thank you that we have the promise that no matter what, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, you're our loving Savior, you're our Jesus. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a beautiful picture. No matter what, it's a win-win situation. We're so blessed. Doesn't matter if trouble is weighing heavy on us. As Jody mentioned in worship this morning, doesn't matter if we're in a place of desperation. We're never so desperate that it's hopeless, because in you we always have hope. To live is Christ. That means that trouble can be here, but it doesn't have to touch us. We can rest untouched by trouble. It's not denial. It's there. The world is a troubled world. We live in a fallen world. But that's what you got us here for. It's to lift up that troubled world. It's to bring your light into this dark place. Father, thank you for the gifts that you have put in each one of us. Help us to get connected. Lord, we're connected to you. How would you use us? How would we bless you, Lord? I trust you, Father, that as we go from this place today, again, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a beautiful picture. We love you so much. Father, we leave our lives in your hands because it's you and me together. We're doing this thing called life together. And I feel such a sense of relief for that. I love you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray this.